can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Oh, sorry, cut that off a bit quickly, Don. I like to fade it down. It sounds more professional if you fade it down.
You're getting very good at this.
No, I'm not.
No, you are.
Now I'm
take a compliment.
I'm starting to tense up, Don, because the doc is going to ring in from Sydney. I think.
You hope he's going to ring in.
Well, look, what we do, we leave it to the doc.
Have you upset anybody through the week?
Hang on. Every other week, the doc says, which means the week.
I know, but I'm
just... He says he'll ring in, so I don't contact him, but I'm hoping he'll ring in.
What I was posing, you haven't upset him, because you have got the tendency to upset a lot of people. How have you gone this week? Have you upset anybody?
Why have I upset the dog?
Yeah, no, you've got to... I'm posing that question.
Well,
you've got that tendency to upset people.
Don...
And maybe that's the reason why he's not ringing in.
Will he give us a chance? He's not late yet. He's got a minute to go. He says he rings in at this certain specific time, and he's got a minute to go. And if he doesn't ring in,
you've upset him.
I said to him a month ago.
Because you did say something.
I said a month ago. I said, Doc, I don't want to have to keep checking every other week. You're going to call
in. Didn't
call in last week, did he? This is the week he's meant to call, isn't it?
Well, we're both in our 70s and I don't remember.
Well, I don't think we spoke to
him
last
week. Your memory's going.
I don't think we spoke to him last week.
Was it a flat podcast last week?
I don't think we spoke to him last week because...
You're going back through your notes to check?
Yes, that was when we spoke about Mark Knight, who wasn't allowed to draw a picture of...
So what has that got to do with the doc?
Well, I would have had questions that I was going to ask him, and I don't believe... Here he is, Dr. Fordham. I don't think he's... I think this is the fortnight. This is the week he's ringing in. But he's late.
Why don't you ring him?
No, he's not late yet. It's 9:29. He rings.
You've got to learn to communicate. This is a problem you have. You've got to learn to communicate with people. Well, just can't wait for them to ring you.
So am I going to just sit here and wait?
No, you've got to instigate. Now, it's your show. You're producing, you're directing, and you're starring.
Well, I'll ring him, will I?
Yes.
Well, where's his number?
Well, it's in your...
What's his name? Doc.
It's Benny. Benny and the Jets. Fordham.
Hey, kids, Benny. Shake it loose together. The spotlight's hitting something that's bound to change the weather. Will I try him?
Yeah, ring him. I'll try him as well.
Hang on. No, don't you try him.
Why? We'll send him into a state of confusion.
Here he goes.
Fordham. What have you got?
Is he ringing me or am I ringing him?
Fordham. Here we go.
Hello? Ben?
Yeah.
Is that the doc? Are you meant to be ringing us?
I haven't got him in my headphones.
Shut up, Don. Are you meant to be ringing us? Did you ring us?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know, I hadn't heard from you, so I was ringing you.
Hey there, you're not on near the phone at the moment. I'm in no rush to listen to voicemail messages. I encourage you to not listen to voicemail messages.
Right, well, hang up and call us back, please.
Short. Send a text message.
No, he's going to call us back.
You're getting in contact with.
Stand by, Shelley, please.
Back to you. That's the way it works.
Here we go. Hang on.
Behave. Talk to you soon. I love you.
Doc, can you hear us? Doc, can you hear us?
Shelley. He's not answering his phone. I just got a recorded message from him.
He's answering the phone. Doc, Shelley, are you there, Doc? Why can't I hear the doc? He's here. He's on the phone. Hello? Hello? Why can't I hear him?
Should be working.
Should be working. Do I have to touch speaker?
Is he definitely there?
Hello?
Yeah, you can hear me now.
Hello?
Are the headphones
all plugged in? Here, Shelley. He said he could hear us.
Mm. Well, I can't hear
there?
Him.
Don't you have to put this on? Don't you have to put that on?
No, we need Roadcaster on.
What, the Roadcaster's on?
Are you definitely connected?
Hello? Oh, jeez. Shelley. We haven't got that sound turned up. Hello?
Hey there, I'm not near the phone at the moment. Doc? I'm in no rush to listen to voicemail.
Yeah?
I encourage you to not listen to voicemail.
Oh, do you want me to pick up?
No, we're right. Turn that fucking phone off, Don. We're speaking to him.
You're getting in contact with.
Thank you. Turn it off, Don.
I'll get back to you. That's the way it works.
Don. Don, he's on the phone now, Don. Stop ringing him. Stop ringing him, Don. He's on the phone, you fucking asshat. Doc!
How are you, boys?
Sorry, oh, geez. Sorry about that, Doc. It's just it's fraught with danger. I tense up every time I have to make a phone call to you. Now,
mate,
Doc.
Do you know what? While we were trying to connect that line, Don was ringing me on the other line, right?
Yep.
And listen to his evil laughter now. He knows he was just trying to completely shit stir you, Sam, and to make a challenging situation even worse. That's why I've maintained Don Scott is an evil genius.
Well, do you know why we couldn't hear you? Because I didn't have the sound on your mobile phone app turned on. It was down on nothing. So, Doc, it's fantastic. Can I just, before we start... Well, no, we have started. We have started. I know...
Have we done shout-outs?
Oh, we did the shout-outs. I'm sorry we've done the shout-outs. I did apologise on the first segment for doing the shout-outs. Because you
said... I need to again correct the record here. You've verbaled me on this issue over many, many months now where you say... Oh, the doc doesn't like us doing shout-outs. I've just suggested, all I suggested is, let's kick off with something else and then get to some shout-outs.
I know.
You know what I mean?
We did the shout-outs to start with, and I said, the doc won't this because he says, them after.
No, it's your podcast, mate.
Whiz, you come in every two. You and Johnny, you're like two bulls, you clash.
Doc...
Seeing as
Jody doesn't listen to this, I want to ask you, seeing as you won't be on again before Christmas, will you?
Yeah.
Will you?
No, probably not. No, I'll be away with the family.
Yes. I want to ask you what you're buying the bride for Christmas. Seeing as she doesn't listen to this, what do you think you're going to get her?
Well, I've purchased her absolutely nothing at this point.
No, at this point, but what?
Yeah.
Item of jewellery, a Cartier bracelet or...
Hiking shoes? What about some hiking shoes? She's into hiking.
No, she went, she went for a long walk this year in Tasmania.
Yeah, I know.
She's not going to be doing another one of them for a while. I don't know. I might need some help because I know a lot of people who listen to this then send me messages on Instagram, so I might need them to hit me up there. Do you know what I did a few years ago? And look, you tell me, maybe this was inappropriate, but I went to a building site with my kids, right, because I had a mate who was building a factory. And he said, mate, the kids can do whatever they want around here, you know, because the whole thing's going to be knocked down. So there was an old dunny there, right? And so we got some spray paint, and the kids spray painted this old dunny. And then I thought, oh, you know, they're very young, and this is their first real artwork. So what I did is I then took the dunny. This is an old dunny that was set to be destroyed. And I put it in the back of the car, and then it in a box, and we presented it to her for Christmas on Christmas Day, right? But in the week leading up to it, I explained to her, I said, listen, I'm just giving you a heads up. The Christmas gift you're getting, there's only one of them in the world. You are never going to forget it. It's going to blow you away, right? So I built it really heavily. And the kids and I thought it was hilarious. But, mate, when she opened the box, and it's this, shitty secondhand toilet spray painted by the kids, mate, she just looked blank. It looked like she, you know, it looked like she kind of was second guessing some of her life decisions, you know. So I've decided the novelty present isn't really one for me going forward.
I would have interpreted that as you giving me the shits.
Well, I would have interpreted it as this was created by our children. And what a special gift. So I put it up in the corner of the backyard for about a year. And then every time she saw it, she gave me this look. And so eventually I said, hey, kids, we better get rid of it.
I would have interpreted, Doc, that you're on crack, that you would have allowed your kids to paint up a shit house or a toilet and give it to your missus. I would say that's an error in judgment. What in the hell would she think that's about?
Yeah, sometimes I think that humour is going to win the day. You know, when you think, oh, this will be funny, so that we'll remember the funny side of it. But I agree. Sometimes I do give the impression that I'm on crack.
Now, Doc, so you haven't decided, what about, jewellery or what?
Or something, what about something sexy?
Well, you could go down to Sexy Land and buy some. go down and buy some toys or some sex aids.
No, I was thinking more. You know, you go past those shops like Honey Birdette. You know those shops.
What are they They're called? Like, what
Honey Birdette? Right.
You no, see them I don't. Tell me about Honey Birdettes.
Well, it's women's undergarments, I think, is a polite way.
So you frequent, many Honey Birdette shops around Sydney?
Yeah, Victoria's Secret and things like that. Should I go in there and maybe something?
Did you listen to the interview we did with Lana from Los Angeles, who was a...
Yes, who was the relationship coach.
A man whisperer. And she said she got on to sexual aids that she assumes... with people on FaceTime, and she said her toy of choice or her sexual aid of choice was an anal plug, which we thought was amusing. I'm not sure.
Merry Christmas.
And she was quite serious that she thought anal plugs were the thing to give just to get a relationship off the ground.
You know what I mean? We live in a very, very open and interesting society, don't we? And everyone's got their wishes and their dreams. And yes, there are some people who might be hoping for such a thing under the Christmas tree.
Can I pose you another, Don?
Well, I was just going to add to this, Doc. I was wondering whether you could have a little input. The chaps I work with were having a philosophical discussion over lunch in Boundary Road a couple of weeks, last week.
The areas are relevant, Don. Go on.
Well, anyway, we were having lunch and a lady just walked by and she'd had reconstructive surgery. And the boys brought up, why have the human race, that's both male and female, got a preoccupation with women's breasts? Now, it's both female and male. Why is the female breast...
Where's this headed, Don?
Well, I want to know, why do we have this preoccupation with the female breast? We're talking about whatever.
Well, at the very heart of it, they are a source of life, and they're a source of wonder.
Why are they reconstructed, though, Doc? This is what we were talking about, the boys.
Well, sometimes you'll find them, and everyone's built differently, but sometimes you'll find that some women don't have them the way that they would want to have them, or other times if they've been breastfeeding, then that can have an impact on their shape or size as well, and they might feel like, no, I want to go back to how I was beforehand. And I think it's human nature to be updating and improving, you know. So even though people see it as this modern phenomenon, this idea of plastic surgery or reconstructive surgery, it's exactly the same as every other element of our lives. I mean, you look at any other element of our life, and everything is always changing, updating, improving. Sometimes we then go too far with those improvements or changes and then we go back a little bit. So you're probably seeing that at the moment. A lot of people thinking, oh, hang on a moment, I might have got work done and I didn't really need to get it done. Or some women thinking, you know, look, the Botox was good for a while, but now, you know, I feel like I've got no expression in my face.
But even before today, reconstructive surgery, growing up, there was Sabrina and Marilyn Monroe and Jane Mansfield, and they were always, you know, highlighting is a better word.
Well, it's because men have got a innate interest in boobs. So if the person with the product knows the level of interest in that product, then naturally they are going to display them in some way to people to assess their interest. And I think that's natural. If someone's got good legs, they probably want to show off the legs.
But we don't highlight the legs, Doc.
Well, yes, they do. I mean, you have a look at the way people, if people have got a good set of pins, whether they're male or female, they'll be more inclined to wear a short skirt or wear shorts during summer.
Well, Johnny wears shorts. Could I just say that Johnny wears shorts 24/7?
I think there's something to be said for that as well. I've got a mate, Kirk Docker, who's a great TV maker, and he wears shorts 365 days of the year because it helps him breathe.
Breathe.
I wear shorts because I've got no feeling from the waist down, so it doesn't matter what climate I'm in. And now, Doc, I tell you, sir. Do you know why you're a star? You manage to speak seriously and logically and clinically about any subject that we bring up. You never turn it into the fact that people might think, oh, no, you're a bit blue and you're a bit off. Asked you a probably tongue-in-cheek question about breasts, and you've gone on with the best explanation. Yes, yeah. Some people like to.
Well, that's why I'm asking. He's an educated man. He's the doctor.
And keep in mind, they're a source of life. When many of us were babies,
yes,
we attached our mouths to those things as a way
nipples.
Of giving us nourishment, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And they helped us grow. They helped us form into the human beings we are. So no wonder we love them.
Yes, when Sabrina had a child, he came out and he said, are they all for me? Doc, I want to ask you this question.
Then I've got a question for both of you about Christmas Day. Go on.
Now, you will understand where this is coming from. If Jodie, your wife, mocked and ran down your grandmother on a public documentary...
Yeah.
While you sat beside her and she ran your grandmother down, would you just sit there and grin at her, or would you say, hang on a minute, Dahl, Jesus, ease up, or what? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I could tell you I'd never be in this situation to begin with, because I would never marry someone who had such a strong opposition to my own family, because I took the view a long time ago that when you marry someone, you're not just marrying them, you are marrying their family. You've got to think about being around Christmas Day and other times of the year when grandma and grandpa and brothers and sisters. I think when it comes to cousins and aunties and uncles, well, it doesn't matter whether they like them or not, but your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, I think it's very important that everyone gets
along.
So
what about that vapid dork, Harry, who sat next to his missus while she ran down the most popular woman in the world, possibly, and he sat there with that stupid laconic grin on his face? Seriously, how could you sell your soul like that?
He's whipped. He's absolutely whipped. And you know what? You need to look at Harry just as much, if not more, that you look at Meghan, because Harry knew the score, he knew the situation, he knew the risks involved in inviting someone like that into his world and into his family. And when he said, oh, there's a tendency for some males in my family to marry someone who fits the mold, well, the terminology fit the mold actually is there for a reason. It means that this person fits, this is going to be a good connection, this is going to be something that's more likely to work. If you invite someone into your world who doesn't fit the mold, that's their good. You know, I love my mates who don't fit the mold, but I'm not going to be living with them. They don't need to be family. They don't need to be sitting around on Christmas Day. But the people you have in your immediate family, it makes sense that they're going to fit in. They're going to get along with people. The way she's spoken about the royal family indicates the way he has spoken about the royal family. He's the one who should be showing loyalty to his grandmother.
Yes.
Well before her, because it's not her grandmother. She doesn't know any better. He should.
Now, Doc, absolutely spot on. Could you give us your take on the tragedy that happened in Queensland? We don't understand quite what's gone on up there, although it's captured a lot of the press down here. Or are you any wiser about what was that all about?
Oh, well, look, I mean, I haven't dived into it, the detail heavily, because I'm on leave from my job. But from what I've read about it and from what I understand about it, it's a tragic case of a few coppers turning up thinking that they're doing a standard welfare check for someone who's been listed as missing. And you've got a bunch of lunatics who are obsessed with guns and conspiracy theories who open fire. But I don't think there's any point in going, okay, well, what was the conspiracy theory, or what happened in the guy's job, or what did he post online? because all of those things are interesting, but they don't indicate why someone would do such a thing. A lot of people who believe in conspiracy theories or who post things online or who may have certain views aren't going to go and grab weapons and open fire on complete strangers. These people were doing their job. It's the thin blue line, those police officers who go out every day and put their lives on the line for the rest of us. And you have a look at the faces of these young people, you know, 29 years of age, Rachel McCrow, the constable, Matthew Arnold, 26. Just think about that, 26 years of age, 29 years of age, and all of the mums and dads and brothers and sisters and cousins and family members and mates who'll be sitting down Christmas Day crying their eyes out because these people have been taken away. And why? I mean, sometimes you have these crimes of passion where someone decides they've had enough about something and so they do something about it. Now, I'm not defending that in any way, but I think as human beings, we have a greater understanding of that, where someone goes, okay, this person was pushed so far that they couldn't handle it anymore, so they took revenge on the person who had harmed them, you know. And in some cases, we've seen that when someone has been abused by a pedophile, and then later in life they go, you know what, I can't live with this anymore, and I'm going to go and kill the child abuser. Again, I'm not saying that two wrongs make a right, but I think that's easier to comprehend than someone seeing two coppers walking up a driveway and thinking, I know what I'll do, I'll end their life right here. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And you know, one of the people involved in this, one of the shooters, you know, was someone who has been sprouting online that Port Arthur was a false flag, was a government conspiracy that was made up. I mean, it's a little bit like the people who think we didn't land on the moon or that 9/11 didn't happen. Can you imagine how many people would have to be caught up in a conspiracy to hide the truth on something like that for so long? Try telling that to Walter Mikak, who lost his two daughters down in Port Arthur. You think about all of the family members who lost loved ones. If you've got a friend who buys into these conspiracy theories, and again, I'm not blaming the conspiracy theory for what happened, it's worth pulling them aside and saying, hey, mate, seriously, take a good hard look at yourself. How many people would have to be caught up in a lie like that to perpetuate it for so long and to make it stand up all these years later? Martin Bryant was a lunatic in Port Arthur, Tasmania, who was obsessed with guns, a bit like the people involved in this incident, and who decided to kill people they didn't know. What a scumbag.
Well, when they said that this Mr. Train was an Indigenous man and he was a racist, this is what his community said. Does this have anything to do with what you were talking about?
Oh, look, I think on a time like this, Sam, I think what you'll find is there'll be 75 stories that'll appear and they'll relate to every aspect of his life. It might be, you know, his heritage, it might be his job. You know, people have already said, oh, you know, he was unhappy in the teaching profession. He had a complaint against the education department. Then you've got the guns, then you've got Port Arthur. I don't think you can kind of look at any one element and say, oh, well, that's the thing that was responsible for. I think that also allows people then to go, oh, well, there was a reason behind it. There's no good reason to go killing a 29-year-old or a 26-year-old or anyone else.
Now, just walked into the podcast area is Phoebe. She's listening to this.
Oh, wow.
And
Phoebe.
And just before you say what you want to say, Chris Smith. Now, the man on Sky, he apparently became amorous with some people at a Christmas party and has bitten the dust. Would you not think, if you were Chris Smith, that probably wouldn't be a good thing to do, no matter how much you'd had to drink?
Oh, I think anyone in 2022 who doesn't understand the basic principle of not doing things to people that they do not want done to them is going to struggle in their life, in their marriage, in their job, and in so many other aspects of being. You know, I think I might have told you, I can't remember whether I told you guys on the podcast, but I had a thing a little while ago, a couple of months ago. I was at my kid's school and I was doing canteen duty. And as I was saying goodbye to my little girl, Pearl, who's only six, a boy came up and bear hugged her, right? And he wouldn't let go of her. And she was yelling out his name. And I kind of went, hey, mate. I said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I was giving a hug. And I said, all right. I said, well, what are we told at school about hugs and things like that? What are we... And Pearl said, you've got to check if someone else wants to be hugged.
Pearl said,
well, mate, can we? Yeah, and she's six. Yeah. And I just said, well, mate, I said, I was standing here, and then this, he's a decent kid, but he just, you know, he just didn't quite get it. And I said, mate, you know, I was standing here talking to Pearl. You've just walked up and bear hugged her, and she kept on saying no. I said, mate, don't ever do that again, okay, buddy? And he said, okay.
Did you give him a one under the ears, Doc?
No, I didn't, but that conversation's happening at six, right? It's happening at five and four to explain to people, hey, you know, and I had to explain it to my son at one stage because one of his mates didn't want to play a certain game. And Freddie was badgering this kid to play. I go, hey, Freddie, he doesn't want to play. Pearl, you don't have to hug this bloke if you don't want to hug him. We're teaching that to our kids. So if you get to the age of 30, 40, 50, 60, and you don't get that, it's really time to wake up and smell 2022 because, you know, kids are learning this in primary school. If you haven't worked it out, you know, in a mature age setting, then you're gonna find yourself in a situation where people are saying, look, we don't want you working with us anymore.
Right, good. Now, Doc, Phoebe's here. So I would think she's...
Now,
about...
Phoebe.
Yes,
Phoebe,
yes,
did Ben. You go to Billy Joel?
No, and I can tell you why. I was working on Saturday night and I had to cover the NGV Gala, which is the big fashion and art event that happens in Melbourne each year. So it's the first time we've had that for we had a 2-year delay because of COVID. So it was quite a big night.
Well, look, at the risk of exposing myself for coming to Melbourne again and not catching up with Don or
Ben,
Dan, I did a fly-in, fly-out. I flew in Saturday afternoon with Jody, and we went to Billy Joel at the MCG, and then we flew out first thing Sunday morning to get home to the kids. But do you know who I had a conversation with there on Saturday night? Someone who you guys would know a lot better than me.
Dan Andrews.
I hadn't met him until Saturday night. No. I was invited to the big knees up with Dan Andrews and others beforehand, but I gave that the brush, and Jody and I, we got some of those Lime bikes. This will stir up Sam and Don.
Oh,
we got
shit.
One of the Lime bikes and one of the Lime scooters. We rode out and we went and got some dinner. And we rode to the MCG and then we jumped on the bike and the scooter to go home as well. But the bloke I got talking to in about, you know, I was in about row 20 or row 30 or something at the MCG was Mr. Wayne Carey. So, he was with a bunch of mates and he was at the back of one block and I was at the front of another. And we caught each other's eye and he just gave me a bit of a nod and I gave him a nod as well. And then he said, how you going? And I said, mate, I'm good. And I thought, I don't know whether he knows who I am. So I just went over and said, mate, Ben Fordham. And he said, yeah, I know. And I said, hey. And anyway, I don't know him. I only got a bit of a glimpse of him from having spoken to him for about 15 minutes. But I watched the way that he interacted with people throughout the night because a lot of people went up to him and said, oh, can I get a photo? Or, you know, or people saying, hey, mate, I met you 20 years ago at some footy night. And I've got to say, I watched him closely and then I watched him from a distance. He was a very impressive and very friendly bloke to deal with on Saturday night.
He's a very good man. He's a good bloke.
And he's had a few challenges this year.
Yeah.
You know, many people have had challenges this year. But I when I see someone like that, if I say good day to him, I say good day. But then I tend to sit back and just have a bit of a watch.
But you haven't, you know? Ben, you haven't thanked us for Billy Joel. We paid as ratepayer taxpayers in Victoria to bring him out here. And you, a New South Wales man, have taken advantage of our taxes.
Well, not only that, I was on a free ticket.
Oh, shit.
Ben, you better give us a review. Was it worth coming to town and giving us the cold shoulder? I can't believe you've brushed us again.
No.
It was. And it was probably the first time, it would be the first time that Jodie and I have gone away and left the kids with Grandma. And it was, mate, it was in and out, but it was fantastic. Billy Joel, he played Waltzing Matilda, right? So he plays Waltzing Matilda. At one stage, he said, now, look, I need to warn you. I'm no Mick Jagger, right? So you're not going to see the dance moves that you'll see with Mick Jagger. And then he goes, oh, hold on. And he looks over to the guitarist. And then the guitarist starts with da-na-na-na, starts with Start Me Up. And then he then sings, you know, half of Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones. You know, he was just fantastic the way he worked the crowd. And he took the piss out of cricket, had fun about, you know, being down under. He was a pleasure to watch. And he was someone my dad once saw Billy Joel in Colorado, of all places. So I just knew that, you know, Dad would have loved being there. because I've never got to see him. And you kind of figure with people like that, like Elton John's coming to Sydney early next year. I don't know whether he's doing Melbourne, but I'm going to Elton John because you kind of think, well, if I don't see Billy Joel now, if I don't see Elton John, you know, you just never know how long they're going to be around.
Got 75-year-old blokes entertaining you and you enjoying it. And I went and saw Elton John and Billy Joel together and they were as boring as buggery. They never spoke to the crowd at all. They just played songs. So that is a great start that he engaged with the audience. And I'll tell you who else flew in and flew out because I met him for a coffee, and that is Matthew Johns from Fox Sports.
Oh, yeah, I love Matty. Yeah.
Matty Johns, he brought his missus down and they flew in and flew out on the same day.
And did you and Jody deposit the scooters? What part of the Yarra?
Don't.
We just threw them off one of the bridges into the water.
Fair enough.
But, mate, they're a good way of getting around. We were staying at the Novotel South Wharf, which is a great hotel. It's probably, you know, if you're walking, if we were walking from the MCG back, and you'd have to, with all those people leaving the MCG, trying to get an Uber, trying to get a taxi, it'd be a, 45-50 minute walk? Mate, it was 12 or 13 minutes on the e-scooter.
And it's fantastic. And it's much closer when it's contra as well.
So Doc, do the maths. There were 70,000 people there, probably 60,000 of them paid. They gave 10,000 free tickets at $200 a ticket. That to me is two. That's about 14. How much is that?
I didn't listen to you.
Oh, geez. 60,000. You didn't do maths at school.
60,000 by 200 is $12 million, isn't it?
Well, no. I don't know.
$70,000 ticket $200. Oh. Well, you didn't pay. That's not a bad fly-in, fly-out. That's.
I'm surprised you didn't get a ticket. Even that homeless lady who slept down on the boulevard, she was there.
Oh, how is she? She asked you for a cigarette?
Yeah, I gave her a couple of ciggies and she had the time of her life. You're the only people who didn't get a ticket.
That is true. Because probably because Dan organised it.
Now, just quickly, Phoebe, where are you Christmas Day and who are you with?
Christmas Day, I'm going up to my parents' place, so the other side of Ballarat, and I'm working for 3AW down here on Christmas Eve doing carols by candlelight. So,
lovely.
Which I love. I really love that night. So that's going to be fun. And then I'm actually on the road Christmas morning. So bit of a drive.
Sam, where are you?
Well, I'm going out to my son Jack's place, and he said that I've got to bring a gift out. We do what's called, do you know what Kris Kringle is?
Yes, Sam, I've been around for a while. I know about Kris Kringle.
I had no idea what Kris Kringle was until he told me. So you've got to buy a gift and
everyone knows how Kris Kringle works, so you're doing Kris Kringle.
I don't know how it works.
But everyone does. And Don?
I'll be having a takeaway.
Thanks for cutting me off here. Thanks.
And I'll be having a takeaway meal by myself and riding my horses in the afternoon.
Ben, you should see Don. He's sitting here with his riding boots on. He's got his Western boots on and he's sitting here with his feet up on the desk while he's talking to you.
That is a lie, Don. Do you know, I know what you're doing. That is a lie what you said.
Bullshit.
You're going to Fiona Hamilton's place.
On Christmas Eve.
That's Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, and Fiona has given us the arse once again.
Yep.
She'd rather notoriety than communicating and bonding with her friends.
I always stand Don up on Christmas Eve, sorry.
Yes. Doc, before we just start chatting with you on the end of the phone about other things, it's very nice of you to be part of the broadcast every other week. This is it before Christmas. Are we saying that?
Yeah, well, I don't know when the dates fall, but always feel free to send me a text if you're in a couple of weeks or even next week or whatever, because I'm on holiday, so if I'm around, there's just going to be a strong likelihood that I'm going to be at the beach and wrangling kids and whatever. So I'll say Merry Christmas and thank you for having me on this year. And I look forward to catching up again in the new year because I just got my contract for the You Cannot Be Serious podcast for 2023. And look, while there are no financials on the contract, I've decided to sign on anyway.
Well, we're sending you up a
T-shirt,
a crew neck T-shirt, which you'll see on the when we do our little blurb. And Michael Christian Menswear's,
we could send two. Couldn't we send two? One for Jody Is Jody listening or what? What is she doing? What's the latest?
Yes, I'd love to get, if you can send a T-shirt for Jody so I can give it, that sorts out the Christmas gift.
Good. And we'd like a photograph too.
You know who I'd like, you know who I reckon we should get on the podcast next year? Roland Rocchicelli.
We've had him, haven't we? Haven't we had him on?
But I loved him when you had him on, and I just love hearing his voice, and he's such a gentleman.
He is.
I think you need to find an excuse to tell him to drop in at some point in 2023.
All right. I'm going to send this T-shirt, which we've got a mock-up here. I'm going to send it up to you for Jody.
That's too
big.
We
wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
Good night,
Australia. Good night, Australia.
Thank you, Doc. Good. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's off, isn't he?
Well, I don't know, Johnny. You're the controller.
Sam, are we having a podcast?
A Christmas party? I thought you were going to have ask about a Christmas party.
No, I don't.
You won't turn up. You'll have something else on.
Well, we just did mention while you were listening, Chris Smith. Now, who I've been on Chris Smith's show on Sky, and he's now not on there because he got
manhandled.
He got revelry and merriment took over him, which is disappointing, isn't it?
Well,
or is that there's more to that?
No, look, what I would say is, regardless of who you are, Christmas parties are a minefield, and you just have to remember that if you are at a Christmas party, you're at a work function. You might not be at your workplace, but it is effectively a work function, and just don't muck up because there's consequences and prices to pay.
Are men always guilty, or are women guilty in these situations?
Well, that's an interesting question. If we're talking about this situation, you can only deal with the individual who happens to be a male situation.
What I'm saying to you, is it only men that muck up at Christmas parties, or are women also guilty?
Good. I can't.
You've been to many Christmas parties.
I've been to many Christmas parties.
Now, how did the women perform? I shouldn't say perform, behave. Yes, they did. They behave badly.
Don't be so diplomatic.
No, I'm trying to think.
They're behaving badly.
Yeah, they have.
But
a few
that never receives any publicity, does it?
I don't think it's about the issue of publicity. I think it's about the issue of appropriateness. There's lines that get crossed, and there's certain, certainly behaviour can be unruly. Behaviour can be unbecoming. But if behaviour does cross the line and it is unacceptable.
So you're not answering the question.
I don't think I'm not answering the question.
Phoebe, I've been to plenty of functions where women have groped me playfully, and whether you like it or not, and you don't say, oh, go away.
Were you offended by it, though?
Not at all.
So is that possibly the difference here?
Well, what happens if I was? I wouldn't.
Yeah, haven't you been?
When you say I'm offended by it, you wouldn't welcome some of the people that do it, but it doesn't worry me. I understand the playful nature of what they're on. They've had a few drinks. I don't take offence to it, other than the fact that all things being equal, I'd rather them not do it. But that I don't take any action because that just goes with, if you're a personality, I mean, people just think that they know you and they come up and do it. So of course the women is
the men are.
Of course they are, Phoebe. I've known that from experience. In fact, more women come up and grope you after they've been drinking than men do. Men come up and might shout at you or nicely, but the women become tactile.
Are these your work colleagues? We're talking about a workplace. We're talking about a workplace in this case.
Well, it doesn't really matter,
or
does it, whether
colleagues.
It be workplace or wherever.
I'm not talking about a workplace.
Yeah, and what I should say is,
but
if they did,
I would know them very well, well enough. When I say very well enough for them, for they know they could do that to me, and they'd mean it and how it was done.
But what I keep coming back to the point that in this day and age, a Christmas party is effectively a workplace. You're with your workplace colleagues. It is an event that in most cases is being paid for by your employer or funded by your employer. The same rules exist in that environment as in the office. You just have to respect each other. It comes down to the issue of respect.
But don't you think these things were going on in years gone by?
Yes, of course
they were. We're just drawing attention to it now, aren't we, in today's society?
Well, maybe there's just a stronger line of respect or a stronger demand for respect among colleagues.
Yes, equality as opposed to being subservient for women just putting up with whatever men want to do to them in the past.
Hang on, what about...
So we went to... Don and I and you, you and I and Don went to a Christmas lunch, didn't we?
And
luckily Don and I don't drink, but if we'd had a couple of of sherbets and started manhandling you, would you have called that a work function or was that just a bit of a social...
Well, I just would have said, stop. And
would you have cancelled us?
Well, I would have
cancelled us.
I would have absolutely put you in your place because...
All depends what we did.
Well, no, it's got nothing to do with what you do. It's what it's as me as an individual, what I am comfortable with or what I believe is appropriate. It's my choice. And this is the thing, you know...
You've taken this seriously. No, Phoebe, I was joking.
No, I know you're joking, but I'm also conscious that this is something that is, you know, a public forum and I just want to make that point. You know, in any situation, it is about...
We went and saw...
The individual's choice and how an individual... interprets and a situation.
We went and saw Joseph's amazing
when
we sat up the back and where the nosebleed
section.
I could have put my arm around you thinking, oh, gee, this has made
you were bored.
This has made me feel really amorous, this show. I feel like putting my arm around Phoebe and maybe I could, I don't know, just see how she's going. And but we didn't. I restrained myself.
You were a boring old man.
You were bored.
Yes.
Don was singing. You were bored. And actually, you were sitting next to Don. You weren't sitting next to me. So it would have been Don that you would have had to cuddle, not
the
me.
The only time he came to life, Phoebe, was when he had a crowd. When we got to the reception at the Western Hotel
and
the cast came along and he had an audience to play to. He gave us the arse.
When are we going on the boat cruise?
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes.
So Shane, and God love him, Shane rang me up and he said, he followed on and he said, this Sunday coming, he said, would it be possible to take, and I said, Shane, you cannot believe this. This is true. I can show you. The only time I cannot do it is on Sunday because I'm going down to a pre-organised function on Sunday. It's been organised for 6 weeks and I've got to go down to it. And I said, mate, I cannot believe that's the only time I can't do it. So I said, could you organise another time? I'd be delighted to do it. So he said, well, he was going to try and do it. But
I'm looking forward to this boat cruise. It's going to be fantastic.
I don't think it's ever going to come.
It'll happen. It will happen.
I was down there on Sunday and Monday, and the Monday is the time I can't do it. And I said, please get any other Monday. I'd be delighted to do it. So he did follow it up.
I think the show is playing in Melbourne until the end of January. Hopefully there's a date that will work because I think that'll be really terrific, that boat cruise.
Yes, it'd be fantastic. I'd love to do it. I know it's we say these things, oh, yes, you must do it. Nothing would give me greater joy than to take those boys and girls out.
And Shane's taking a week off over Christmas from Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat to do Christmas with the kids. He's going up, going back up north, I think, to see the kids. So he's just taking a few days off the show. But he'll be back to finish the season here in Melbourne. And I just think he's done a fantastic job.
I'll tell you who you might be interested in if you're going to stay here, I hope. We have a man coming in that's approaching 100. He is approaching 100. And this is him now. he's approaching 100 and he has been a top sports man.
Would you like me to get the door?
No, I've got a question to ask you.
Better get the door, please. Yep.
Someone's getting the door.
And I'm going to be fascinated to speak to this man. And you'll be part of it as well, hopefully.
Could I ask one other question? There's another facet to you, Fiona, people don't understand. You're a country girl.
Oh, no.
What do you mean, oh, what?
What are you going to say?
Well, I was just going to ask you about hay, which nobody else would be, only unless you're a country person. Have you got any hay this year because of the rain? Because they haven't started cutting hay down my way.
I haven't asked Dad that question. I don't have an answer.
We could be in for a bad season in winter next year.
John, actually, to this, I was driving in today to see you boys, and I hear that there's potentially going to be a honey drought, because of course the bees aren't getting enough pollen at the moment, so there could be a potential problem with honey here in Victoria in the next few months.
And the other thing I'd ask you, being a country girl, I don't know whether you spoke to your brother, your father, but where I live, the mosquitoes, I've never known mosquitoes to be as bad as what they are right at this moment.
All the weather, the wet, yes, the water lying around. Mosquitoes everywhere. Yes, there's an issue with that. It's been an interesting season. It's certainly been a lot wetter than I thought.
I think the farmers are going to be in for a very bleak winter next year, because I don't know how they're going to feed their animals.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see how that all plays out.
Yep.
Phoebe? Don, we're going to wind this up, and we're coming back.
I'm looking forward to this, because this growing up.
Well, I'm glad you're looking forward to it, Don. That's made us.
Because
it
I will, I'll be so absorbed. Not
I'm just as well as you said that you weren't looking forward to it, because we would have put him in the car and sent him home. I'm only joking. We're winding this up, and we'll be back with our very, very special guest, which I'm looking forward to as well. So there we are. Thank you.